Zolak and Bertrand from the Mall of America, Radio Row, Super Bowl 52, and we've got something to give away. This is a good one, so this is a good prize.
What do we got?
I'd like to say thank you to Big Y World Class Market, bringing you the Big Y World Class Market guest chair all week long. And we'll get to that giveaway momentarily.
Okay.
I thought we might have a guest here. That's all. We'll move on. We'll get back to the giveaway in 1 second. We want to go to the phones and talk to Michelle. Excuse me. I went to the wrong line.
Oh, boy.
We'll go to...
What giveaway?
No, I can't do anything with the phones.
I'm so confused.
We have a
Who do I have on the line? Do I have someone on the
Hello?
Line?
I hear somebody.
Hello?
Caller, go ahead.
Caller, speak.
Is this Joe or TJ?
It's Jaguar in the car.
Who?
Jaguar in the car.
Jaguar in the car. Okay.
I thought he said something else.
I'm actually calling in regards to the past couple Super Bowls. When we faced the Eagles in 05, we actually had 28 and 33 in the backfield, Dylan and Fulk. Do you think with superstition as far as the Patriots wearing the white jerseys, Belichick wearing the certain jerseys that he likes to wear, you think that they're going to try to do the same game plan as this?
No. I don't. Thank you.
Yes, I do.
Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $150 Whole Foods Market gift card. Whole Foods Market, the best food for the big game. We're going to bring in Philadelphia and do a simulcast here momentarily.
Nice.
With our people from Philadelphia, our station there, our sister station.
Oh.
Are they in the game?
As soon as they go to the top of the hour on their station, we have to be quiet. That's what we have to do.
Is Philly in the game?
Philly is in the game.
They're not here? The simulcast?
I think they're in Philadelphia.
Oh. That's neat. Really get the feel of the Super Bowl staying at home.
Why do we have to be quiet?
Shh.
Because we will be...
We're gonna hear their intro.
We will be over the
Remember we used to do this
air,
WFAN?
From what I understand.
Yeah. WFAN, the fan.
Because if we're talking and they're talking, both stations
will hear
all four people
talking. It's called a train wreck. Right.
So they're going to intro the whole thing. And then we'll just start talking amongst ourselves.
But we're the home team.
We're on the road.
We're white.
We're on the road.
And this is 97.5 in Philly.
Okay. So
97.5!
Sports.
The Fanatic!
Yeah.
So for like the next few seconds, we should just speak in clips?
Well, no.
Just
saying.
Super Bowl.
Snip.
Mall of America. Cinnabon.
Did you go shopping yet?
Nope.
Did you have? Here we go.
Okay, we'll be quiet.
City, Philadelphia. Mikey Miss and former Eagle Seth Joyner will join us noon to 2 here today for a football roundtable. We got to hook up right now, Harry, with our guys up in the New England area in Boston from WBZ.
Yeah.
Bertrand and Scott Zolak. Scott Zolak, I believe, is the analyst on the Patriot Radio Network. They join us now. How you guys doing up there?
Hey, we're doing well. Where are you guys?
We're in Center City, Philadelphia.
Center City, 20th and Market Street at a tremendous place called Pagano's. Yeah, are we at the Super Bowl?
We're at the Super Bowl.
I was hoping we would do this in person.
Well, I can go to the King of Prussia Mall anytime. I don't need to fly 2.5 hours and commute in 6 degrees to go to a stinking mall. So I thought we'd stay here.
Oh. Yeah, but there's a game at the end of the week. There's a pretty big game at the end of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we need to be here with the people. Because this,
I watch the game at home. I don't go out to watch the game anyway.
Yeah, and unlike you guys, we're not used to this.
Yeah, we're not. Hey, listen, trust me.
There you go. Now we're getting to it.
Hey, typically, guys, we'd be in about our 8th week of draft talk right about now.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, I said this to Zoe about a month ago. I said, Zoe, I don't want to talk draft in the month of January ever. I don't ever want the Patriots to get to a point where we have to sit there and talk about potential guys to draft.
So, quarterback.
And now that, you know, Philly's back in the Super Bowl, you guys know how much better this is than that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
I mean,
draft
this is only
you and
three
your draft
times.
Talk.
3 times in 52 years we've had this, and twice since I've been doing sports radio. So that's it.
And how much has this changed? Because when Wentz went down, and you knew when they were taking him to that locker room, it didn't look good. You could tell when on the replay the knee was sliding. When you knew it was Foles time from that point forward, how depressing was it for fans, or did you truly still believe that, you know what, we're still going to go to the bowl?
Well, we didn't know about the Super Bowl, but we were hopeful still, that because they have a good defense. But when you lose a guy who was on a pace for probably to be the MVP at that point, competing probably with Tom Brady for it, and you lose him, you're going, you got to be kidding me. Because, you know, you guys before the year 2000 were losers like us, right?
Yeah, that's what Zolak played.
Yeah, when I played.
Yeah. And Scott Zolak, you started seven more NFL games than I did.
That's right.
But that being said, you know, we're still the losers, and then you lose this guy that, you know, they moved up in the draft to get, and then all of a sudden – he's taken from us 13 games into the season. You're going, you got to be kidding me.
It was just like the anvil over your head. You just wait for it to drop on you here in Philadelphia. And that was the anvil hitting us right on the head. And then we just kind of rationalized it to say, well, you know what? They can still get the number one seed, and we'll take our chances with this defense. Coach up Nick Foles. They can win a game and get to the NFC championship. And then, you know, you just sort of, you know, take your chances, roll the dice, and see what happens. Little did we know that we're going to bludgeon the Minnesota Vikings, which has now given us incredible confidence to go in and win a Super Bowl against the evil empire.
Do you guys make fun of Howie Roseman the way we make fun of Howie Roseman?
Vanilla
and chocolate.
Yeah, we used to.
Yeah, no, not about his decision-making.
Oh, we have phone him.
His decision. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, do you consider him drafting Wentz even a decision? Because that really wasn't.
Well, no, it was. You know why? Because he had to move up to get him.
From 13
to make two
to
moves.
To yeah. Two.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But, okay, I guess you could say that. But it's not as if he had a choice there. He knew when he moved up. Whoever was drafted first, he was taking the other guy.
But yeah, Bradford, right. $36 million.
Well, they did know, though, because the agent that was Jared Goff's agent was also the agent for Wentz. So they knew who they were moving up to get or target. And, look, they're probably both going to be pretty darn good quarterbacks in the NFL. I think we saw that this year. But that's who they ended up with. But you're right. I mean, is he a geek? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
but he's but his moves this offseason. Yeah,
he's
nine
got the full
moves.
Voice.
Yeah,
he's got
totally.
The full nerd
I like
voice.
Vanilla and chocolate.
Oh, there it is. I have vanilla and chocolate.
Yeah, he's more of like an accountant than an NFL GM. Yeah. You know.
But they paired him with a football guy in Joe Douglas, and that's what's really kind of forged the identity, which is now what you see with the Eagles.
Is your fan base going to behave when they come out here?
No.
I saw the video.
Probably not.
Right.
Well, it doesn't matter if we do or not, because you have these lazy hack journalists. And these people, I'll tell you, can you deliver a message for me, guys?
Yeah, which one?
Sure.
Give me a name.
Yeah.
Ooh,
Matt,
no, I just need either of you guys to tell the Viking fans out there that they are the biggest sore loser P-words I've ever had to deal with. Because they are still blaming us for the fact that their team got their rear ends kicked in here.
I will say, we've been here. I got here on Sunday, and I haven't talked to a single person from Minnesota yet.
Is that right?
Who's not rooting against the Eagles. And I'm stunned, because we're so used to being the team that is hated by everybody everywhere we go, that I've talked to all the people here, whether it be cab drivers or getting checked in at the hotel, and everyone who's from Minnesota is talking about, oh, I can't root for the Eagles now. And I would never normally root for the Patriots, but this week I will. So it's an odd dynamic here. They really don't like the Eagles.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's now a rivalry.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because, you know, the mentality of this fan base, because it's like a Halley's Comet around here when they go to the Super Bowl, is obviously off the charts. Now, you guys go every other year. This is now going to be your eighth Super Bowl with the Tom Brady-Belichick era. Is it getting old?
No,
it never gets old.
Third, four years for me calling a game. I mean, it's...
Scott, I heard you do the final call. You were going ballistic.
I mean, you think you've seen it all, right?
And uh-huh.
My play-by-play guy, Bob Soucy, he did Navy games for years, and
he's the straight man.
He's right down the middle. And we're sitting there last year during the Atlanta game, and we're down 18 at the half, and he's telling me it's going to be all right. I'm like, Bob, it's not going to be all right, okay? just shut up. They get the ball to come out. He's like, yeah, but they could score, and then the Patriots went 3-and-out. Next thing you know, they're down 25. I said, I'm looking at him like, is it going to be okay now? And it was. Yeah. And in Jacksonville, I mean, it's just, you know, Brady, they lose Gronk, and Brady goes to Amendola and just, you know, cuts up a Jacksonville defense that's number one in the league.
Well, what's up with Gronk now? What's going on with that space cadet?
Oh, he's ready.
Yeah,
he's ready.
Hey, guys, come on. I mean, you're from a tough city. 4 years ago, before this CTE concussion crap, that kid would have had 3 smelling salts and been back in the game.
Oh, I know.
No question.
I think he might walk around half concussed all the time, that guy, the way he plays.
Roll that. Yeah.
The way he plays, he's one of the weapons that's, like, unstoppable.
Really?
Guys, when you look at this game, too, like, this city is swelling with confidence. And whether it's cosmic or whatever, that's the way this fan base is feeling. Are we crazy to be feeling that? Is that the tenet, like, kind of what people are saying up there? Like, this is going to be a rocking chair ride for you guys to win your sixth Super Bowl with this regime?
Well, you know what? The game's always tight. See, that's the thing. I mean, New England, whether you're a 14-win team, 13-win team, 50, whatever the record is, going in, Super Bowls are decided by a field goal or 4 points.
I mean, just look at every Patriots Super Bowl, right?
They've got five already.
Every single one of them was in doubt in the final minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
Every single one.
I think you guys have gotten off every first quarter. You haven't scored in any of these seven Super Bowls.
That is correct.
Scored a point in the first quarter. So,
right.
So if they score quick, I think you guys would be in trouble.
But listen, there's a blueprint here. There's a blueprint on how to beat the Patriots, and it's get pressure up the middle, and if you can rush with four, and the Eagles certainly have the depth to be able to do that.
Fletcher Cox, and you get
after Brady. That is how you do it.
Yep.
That is how you do it. So if the Patriots protect well, the Eagles will have a hard time doing it, but that's the blueprint. That's what you have to do to win.
Yeah, if the Patriots protect well and get into that up-tempo, we could be in for a problem.
Yeah, no substitutions. Yeah.
And again, it's not off the edge. It's up the middle.
Right.
That's the thing you need to do.
Hey, guys, this has been really cordial, and I'm actually enjoying it.
I know. Me too.
Not New York.
We agree on that New York is the pit
it
of
is,
all pits.
I will say, we are happy that as much as, you know, Patriots fans and Eagles fans.
I didn't want a Vikings Super Bowl. I was rooting for Philly.
The Vikings wouldn't have been as fun.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, listen, they love Case the Vikings. Kingdom. Great. Yeah. Decent sports market. But it's not Philly. I mean, if there's a market that is as close to Boston, it's Philadelphia. It's not New York. A lot of people would say it's New York. I think it's Philly. I've said that forever.
I was covering a team in the Jacksonville Super Bowl, that 04 one, and it was 90% Philly fans, 10% Patriot fans.
Yeah,
that
they
was
like invaded
Philly
Jacksonville.
T.O. game.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
Let me ask you one last question, guys, because I'm really curious about this. Where does this Patriots team rank in all the teams that went to the Super Bowl? Is this the most vulnerable team and matchup-wise against the Eagles? Is that
near
right?
The bottom. Yeah, we spent time talking about this last week. It is down the list. It is maybe the second worst Super Bowl team they've had in the Brady Belichick era.
Second worst. Wow. Yeah.
On paper.
Okay. But just in terms of grading the talent on the roster, it's down the list.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I would say the second Giants Super Bowl loss is near the bottom. 2001 is near the bottom, even though that was a great win.
The first one. 14-point underdogs, weren't you?
Yeah.
Against the Rams.
They had a lot of underappreciated guys who were really good that probably didn't get the credit they deserved.
Yeah, like
but
Troy
in terms
Brown,
of what they
Falk.
Went, yeah. I mean, guys that kind of became better reputation players based on those games.
Yes.
I would say that this one is, you know, second or third worst out of the 18. So it's definitely bottom half of the list.
Interesting.
Wow. So how's your confidence and how's your fan base's confidence that the Patriots are going to get a win?
Pretty good. They rally.
You guys feel pretty good, right?
Well, I mean, they always do, and I you know to what
why
you
would
said,
you not? Well, yeah, how could you not at this point?
No, but to what you said when you started the interview, does it get old for you? And I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's going to be less fans, maybe less people show at the rally, and they packed a stadium, and it's almost double of what it was last year for Atlanta, this it's -5 degrees here today.
Awesome.
Freezing.
Yeah. And we're sitting next to
you. It's so cold when you breathe through your nose, your nostrils feel frozen. Like the hair inside your nose, you feel it getting hard and frozen.
Yeah, I love
one
that.
Of those my, days here.
My partner's a hockey buff, so he loves that kind. He'd like to be out on
great hockey.
Like
yeah. A lot of pond stuff
great
out
great hockey,
right.
Market. That's for
ice
sure.
Fishing.
That's all we want to talk about here.
Exactly.
Yeah, you could play on the lakes while we're up there, man. That would have been fun. Yeah. Last question for you guys. I wanted to bet something with you guys, but there's really no food or anything I want from Boston.
I want Pats. I do not like Geno's. It's too bland. Pats uses the fattier meat, which gives a saltier taste to it. And I just think it tastes better. The bun's better.
So when the Eagles win, what can you send our way?
What do you want? I don't know. The politicians do this.
We're not doing this.
We rip them to shreds.
Yeah, it's so lame.
And
how about we bet beer?
What about beer?
What does Philly have? Philly have anything good?
Yeah, we got some nice local IPAs that are good.
Pottsville.
Yeah.
Well, we'll send you a nice. Our buddies at Free Will Brewing Company will send you a couple cases of their beer. A good IPA,
we'll
good mixer.
It. We'll think about it.
Well, thanks.
We'll take it. Thank you.
We're pulling the offer.
Okay, the offer just went off the table. This is like Howie Roseman negotiating with T.O.
Screw you, Philly.
Chocolate and vanilla ice cream.
I'll send the vanilla ice cream. You guys send the chocolate. I like both.
Howie will get his revenge.
Yes. Hey, guys, enjoy the cold weather in Minnesota. We hope you lose. We hope you taste defeat. And it's been fun doing this.
All right, guys. Too bad you're not here. We'll see you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mark Bertrand, right. Scott Zola.
All right, you guys.
That was fun. That was too, very nice.
It's grab ass. Call it what it is.
A little embarrassed by the prospect of a Super Bowl bet.
Yeah.
I'm like, dump bail.
What are we
dump. Dump. Cut the
didn't
line.
What, are we going to stop serving Philadelphia cream cheese here, too?
How about
all these businesses looking for free plugs on the news?
You want us to send you some clam chowder, and you can send us some cheesesteaks from Pat's? I'm gluten-free. Super Bowl bet? Did that just happen?
Jason and Harry Mays, weekdays, 97.5,
nice
the Fanatic in Philly.
That sounds like a decent show.
Yeah.
Good show.
Let's get to the CBS Sports Minute. Feinstein on why the Super Bowl week is the most overhyped week of the year. I can tell you, Feinstein, I'm here and I'm loving it, baby.
Tool.
Super Bowl.
Tool.
Zolak and Bertrand are live at Radio Row at the Mall of America. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. We are from opening night here in St. Paul, and we are joined by Patriots kicker Stephen Goskowski. Stephen, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Getting used to this?
No, it's unreal to be here again, and you just kind of soak it all in, take it one day at a time, and try to escape a lot of this media madness.
You're one of the longest tenured guys, other than the quarterback. Probably the other one, right? It's him and you, as far as how many years you've been here. What do you like about this team compared to the other teams? And you kind of see things differently as the kicker.
Yeah, definitely. The great thing about this team is we all get along. There's not a lot. There's no finger pointing. There's no yelling or panic. And that's always good to be a part of a team that, you know, when things are going tough, it's not a big panic session. And they have confidence, and they know that if you play good and execute, that you'll have a chance to win. And it's a fun team, a lot of great personalities. You lose a couple guys like Edelman and, you know, Nikovic and other guys like that, and other guys step up, and, you know, like the craziest things Dole is doing that we all knew how good he was, but seems not to get the recognition that he deserves sometimes.
Bill Belichick always preaches that every year is a new team, different team. How different does this one feel to you than what you had a year ago at this time?
I mean, it's hard to tell. There's some new players, a lot of different players. I think everyone's come in and bought in and done well, and it's kind of hard to judge team to team. I can't remember what I did yesterday, so, you know, when you have kids, you don't really remember anything anymore.
Those kids coming out?
Yeah, they're coming out Thursday.
Fired up. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right, go back to Amendola. The fact that he's come on the way he has and the way he's a big-time catch guy now, will he take his shirt off in the offseason before Edelman? When they do things together. It seems like you always see Julian, but now that Edelman had to sit out the year, it's kind of like he took a backseat to Amendola, right?
Edelman's probably doing push-ups right now listening to this interview.
Psycho.
He's ready.
Have you talked to him at all? Is it hard for him? I'm wondering if it's hard for him to
I mean,
sit
we don't
back
talk, you know,
things.
You don't talk about stuff like that. You know, you see guys, hey, how you doing? How's your family? You know, he'll come up, say good luck. He's doing rehab. He's doing good.
From a special teams perspective, the ability to kick teams down in, how much, you know, with the dome and, I don't know, get into kicking. Do you like kicking? We know you like kicking in the dome. It's dry. It's there's no wind. But that weapon that you guys have now with Slater and guys, the gunners, you know, guys like Bolden, everybody else you've added as far as, you know, the L1s, L2s that could get down there, how much does that help you guys when you set field position in the game?
I think it helps a lot, and they stress it a lot, and it's definitely something we want to do. And I think when you're kicking off, it's either to start the half or you score. And piggyback off a score or the start of the half and to make a big play, especially at home or in a big game, guys get pumped. I think the defense runs on the field, feeding off of the energy, and it's just exciting for everybody to use the talent that we have on special teams and not have to kick a touchback every time.
Since they changed that rule with the touchback rule, how much have you had to change as a kicker? Is that from a mental aspect? Because you're, you know, from college to here to your early days, you're trained to kick it one way,
yeah,
and knock it through the end zone. Now you got to adjust everything with the leg swing. How much is that different?
It's been a lot of fun. I think I'm probably more used to that now than what was before. It's just something you practice and work on. And, you know, the thing about kicking is it gets boring doing the same thing going over and again. So it's nice to have something different to do, truthfully.
Why do you think more teams aren't doing that? Because we've watched a lot of games this year where teams aren't doing that. And then we saw Jacksonville do it last week and thought, well, finally, someone's going to catch on to this. And use this to their advantage and use the new rules to their advantage. It feels like you and your team have caught on right away, and there's still a lot of teams that are trying to boot it out of the back of the end zone.
I don't know. I mean, I guess not every team has Matt Slater on their team and Nate Ebner and Bolden and guys like that. And, you know, we play in weather where a touchback's not a given anyway with a lot of wind and cold and stuff like that.
We're talking with Patriots kicker Stephen Gostkowski. So when it comes to domes, everyone just assumes they're all the same. It's all the same. What will you do game day when you go into the dome in terms of just kind of checking it out? Have you guys played there? You haven't played a game there yet.
We haven't played there, yeah. But we get the opportunity to go Wednesday and check it out. So me, Ryan, and Joe will go over there. We get an hour on the field to kick, and then we'll go join the team and practice after that. So we'll get a feel for it. And
you know what? I remember, too, down in Dallas, the glass and everything, you know, the way the light reflected. I think I haven't been there either, but I think that's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be good to get a feel for it. You know, it's always nice to step on a field that you've been on before.
All right, Stephen, appreciate the time.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate
good luck on Sunday. Patriots kicker Stephen Gostkowski in our Big Y World Class Market guest chair this hour of Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row is brought to you by Rom Diamonds. It's fun to talk to him for a little bit last night.
Yeah.
Good old kicker talk.
He gets it. I mean, he's been around this game for a while now. He's missed a couple key extra points. AFC Championship, you know, Super Bowl last year that, you know, cost him maybe out in Denver. Did not cost him last year, thankfully, in Super Bowl 51. And he could be in another big spot this week. But it's a pretty good weapon on that pooch kick at the goal line. You know, that's... You know, when you have, and to what he said, you know, the right. Gunners, the right guys to do
the
it.
The final two plays of the last two seasons.
Yeah. It's
okay, which were the Super Bowl last year and the Denver game the year before that.
Right.
The final plays of the previous two seasons were games that he did not play well in. This will be the final game of this season, so I think he's looking to snap that streak.
Game could come down to him. You know, you talk about sneaky, you know, who's the sneaky big player in this game? Might not be a Deion Lewis. It might not be a Patrick Chung. Could be the kicker. Nobody's mentioned a kicker at all. And
afraid to.
Yes.
Well, it's almost like, you know, don't touch the starting pitcher. If he's got a no-no going, just stay away from him. Don't look at him. Don't talk to him. You know? Yeah. Sneaky.
Because I don't think we have the trust in him that we – and I hate to make these comparisons. I do. We don't have the trust in him that we had in Vinatieri. We don't. It's not the same, and that's not to say that he's not a good kicker, because Stephen Gostkowski is a very good kicker.
Yeah.
He is. He's had a really great career. And this is part of the, you don't want to be the guy after the guy.
Yeah.
He's living that right now. He's
sure
the guy
is.
After the guy.
Yeah.
For the New England Patriots is what he is. We are going to be talking here shortly, Zoe, with Leslie Visser.
Yes, we are.
Broadcasting icon. She'll be joining us here on Radio Row coming up in just a short time. You had a conversation with Brady last night.
I did.
Quickly, what was the gist of the conversation?
Well, just how relaxed he is. You know, the journey again to get here and the amount of time he puts in that offseason. Talked a little bit about the Facebook stuff, you know, prior to it. We didn't talk about it during the interview, but, you know, this is what I do everything for now.
For Facebook?
No, not for Facebook, but for this game. And, again, how much he understands what the day entails and what it takes out of you as a player physically and mentally, and how he feels that that's the advantage he has over anybody else. And that's why you play the game, and that's the fortunate thing you have when you've been to the game as many times, you know, playing in eight of these things, that, you know, I can rely on that. Or just say we do get down. When you go up and you're yelling at people on the sideline, the fact that you've done it before and you've come back, it resonates more as opposed to guys. It's one thing to be a rah-rah guy and you're getting your ass kicked each and every week and you never have the ending result. You know, now you do. Now you got stuff you can fall back on and the leadership that they have and how much he likes his team as opposed to other teams he's brought to this game. It's a different team. I said, would you call him resilient? He goes, that's a great word I'd use. He goes, a lot of people had us dead, you know, a week ago. You know, Rob goes down. He's a big part of our offense. But he said, you know, shoot, Josh. Guy adapts and we adapt together as a team, and how clutch Danny Amendola is. You know, Danny Amendola could have a massive game.
And as promised, you will hear from Josh McDaniels and Chad O'Shea. That'll be coming up in the noontime hour. Those were easily our best two interviews of last night. I mean,
really
good interviews with both of those guys. So that is going to be coming up in the noontime hour. Leslie Visser longtime sports broadcaster with local roots.
Oh, yes, she does.
Will be joining us.
Was she born in America's most patriotic city?
I believe she was.
I believe she was.
I think we should start with that.
Yeah.
We will start the interview talking about that very point, God. Hardy. Leslie Visser will join us on Radio Row here on Zolak and Bertrand. That's coming up.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Here at Zolak just mentioned Danny Amendola. Well, he was part of the opening night festivities last night and was asked about the Pats' ability to come back in games when they find themselves in a deficit.
We do a lot of drills in practice and situational football, so it's almost like every situation we're in, it's just another drill that we've done. So when we get out there, it's all you know, supposed to work together. Sometimes it does, but you know, like I said, we just, you know, try to mimic the game and whatever it is, try to make it harder in practice, and then so we'll be ready for a game.
So Danny Amendola was there last night as both teams took the stage to meet the media and fans. Rob Gronkowski didn't participate. He's still in the concussion protocol. Malcolm Butler missed opening night festivities due to illness. Celtics salvaged a split of their four-game road trip with a 111-110 win over the Nuggets in Denver last night. They'll be home tomorrow night to take on the Knicks. Bruins in action tonight, playing host to Anaheim. Judd Zerod, Bob Beers with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show, 6:30 tonight, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by Big Y World Class Market. Hosting guests for the big game, your party isn't complete without a trip to Big Y World Class Market. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Live from the Mall of America, talking sports and
what can I do for you?
Returning pants, Zolak and Bertrand on Radio Row. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I was on Central Time there momentarily. Sorry, folks. 11:37 here on Zolak and Bertrand.
What's up, Tyler Sagan?
Yes. How you doing? Well, that's it.
I've screwed up five times already.
Yeah, we know.
The NFL Network stuff, Barstool, you name it. I'll be on that.
Well, I had a borderline argument about that today with somebody over that Not Done Network about what time we're on today. I'm like, then why did the email say last night 4:30? Because it's 4:30 Boston time.
Right.
Oh.
Because they're operating on East Coast time. Right.
All right, then.
Right.
So what time are you on?
3:30 to 5:30.
Central or
wait a minute.
Eastern.
Now I'm confused. You told me 4 to 6.
Ask me if that show yesterday was my last one.
Was it your last one?
No, not done.
See.
Will today be your final show?
No, we're not done.
Would you like another drink? No, I'm not done.
I'm not done.
Would you like me to cut you off, sir?
Yes,
no,
please have
I'm
some.
I'm not done.
Yes, have
will
some.
Will Sunday's Patriots game be the final game of the season? Yes. Yes, it will. That will be the end. That means they're done.
Oh.
Done. Well, regardless of outcome.
I thought it was one more.
Not anymore. Now it's not done.
Not done.
Leslie Visser is scheduled to join us at any moment, and we expect she will arrive momentarily. Zoe is going to leave momentarily to go conduct some business.
Potentially.
What do you mean potentially?
Well, I mean, it always changes, as does most times in interviews.
Got to go do your...
Like Leslie should be sitting here now, but
right.
She's obviously not. She's got
right.
Held up. Sometimes the man is supposed to interview.
But you are going to leave at some point.
Yeah, I'm going to do coach. Yeah.
Okay.
Call for it as do coach as we do each and every week during the season. That's why we're at CBSC normally for the all access, but it doesn't usually conflict with our programming. But today, because it is Super Bowl 52 and, you know, the demands of his time, it may for a little bit here. But we're juggling some things.
And we'll have everybody know that there is a large feature.
Can we talk about something real quick?
In the New York Times today on Scott Zolak.
That's right.
Being the Belichick whisperer.
I think he's the Zolak whisperer. He's the one that calms me down. Hey, you don't know what you're talking about, bud. Here's why, and I'm going to show you. Just so next time you say it.
Do you have a hard copy of that anywhere, Zoe?
I have nothing right
now.
New
York Times, we should be able to get one of those. Right?
Yes, we can get it downstairs.
Yeah.
Really?
Nice.
I got to get one.
We should go get one.
For posterity.
And I will add to all this. There is one story in there of Bill Belichick. Oh, Hardy's leaving. He's going somewhere. I think I know what it might be.
He's not done.
Yeah, not done. There's one story in there that Bill came to you after the Super Bowl 49.
Yeah.
and told you that Pete Carroll's decision to throw the ball, which was then subsequently intercepted by Malcolm Butler, was not the worst decision in Super Bowl history.
Right.
How long after that game did he come to you? What was the timeline on that? That he came to you to show you,
okay,
that, Scott, this is not as bad as you made it out to be, because he heard your,
I think it was,
your call. He heard your call of the game.
I think it was, you know, we got delayed coming back. Remember, they had to push the parade back because of the snowstorm. So it was the morning of the parade, and we were sitting down to do our final interview for All Access. So we did a couple more questions regarding the game, and he went in, he had that rock and roll AC/DC type, you know, victory T-shirt on. And he said, hey, I just want to show you something. And I said, okay. What? He said, well, I heard your call. He said, it was the worst call, you know, offensively in Super Bowl history. There's a reason they threw the football. I want to show you why. Just so you know, from a broadcasting perspective, and as he's teaching me, as I'm a broadcaster now instead of a player, that he's taking the time to do it, and I appreciate him for that. He pulled out a short yardage play early in the first half where they loaded it up, and they actually stuck beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, on a similar type play to the left side for a one-yard loss and forced them into a fourth down. So understand that when we showed them the same defense later and we went to the big, it was the Malcolm go play. That's our big, heavy run stuff goal line. So we sort of forced the hand for them there. So theoretically, he made the right call to throw it there because we were loaded up against the run. The run would have not have been there. So it was actually the right call to throw the ball. It was a pretty decent throw. You know, Browner made a great jam, but more importantly, Malcolm made a fantastic play on the ball. It's a rub route. You're running an inside slant. Boom. Bang it on him. It was a better throw than the Roethlisberger throw to, what was his name? You know, it wasn't Antonio Brown late in that game. I think it was Eli Rogers in the Pittsburgh game this year. So he said he made the right call.
So has that changed your opinion of that play?
From a play calling standpoint, yes. But I still think he should have handed it off.
I do too. And this is where I think this is a really interesting thing because it kind of gives you some insight into how Bill Belichick decides to do things, how he decides to make decisions.
Right.
You need a run zone, so I'll finish making my point here with Hardy.
Okay.
And my point is this. So when I read that this morning, I had heard this before, but it just kind of brought it back up. He's saying that it was a good call based on the fact that they had seen that one personnel package,
yep,
in that game once before. And I would say, true, and that's a good point. And Bill Belichick would pick up on that. But that's a small sample. What if you run with Marshawn Lynch and he does pick up the yardage 6 out of 10 times, but 4 times you're going to stop him. You're going to stuff him. Do you know that from having watched the play one time?
I wouldn't think so.
And at some point you've got to put some stock in your talent and the ability of the player you're handing that ball off to.
Right.
And I think it's interesting, and we could talk more about that with Zoe coming up later on. 617-779-0985. Let's take a timeout here from Radio Row in Minneapolis. We'll talk to Leslie Visser coming up next.
Radio Row, the legends of sports, the celebrities, the mall cops.
What are you doing here?
It's Zolak and Bertrand from Mall of America. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Super Bowl 52. And we are now joined here on the show by a broadcasting and sports journalism icon and legend, and all those words that you would possibly use are absolutely deserved. Leslie Visser is joining us here.
Say
on Radio
again,
Row.
Mark.
Yeah, legend, icon, inspiration to others. There's all kinds of great
author.
Things. Yes, and now author of Sometimes You Have to Cross When It Says Don't Walk. When I read that, I think, of course, in Boston, we jaywalk. It says don't walk. It basically means walk. But what does that mean? Why is that the title of the book?
My family moved around a lot. As you know, I'm a native Bostonian, as we all are. And we were living in Cincinnati. And in the early 60s, women really could only do 3 things. They were teachers, homemakers, or nurses. So my mother and I were walking around. She said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a sports writer. And instead of saying, what are you, crazy? She said, that's great. Sometimes you have to cross when it says don't walk.
Is it true that you would, like, dress up for Halloween as, like, members of the Celtics and stuff like that? Everybody else was, like, dressing up as a princess or something?
One member, Sam Jones.
I'm sorry. Okay, I didn't
What do
know.
You mean? He begs me every year because I've been doing it since I was 10. But back then, I just put the 24, you know, on the T-shirt and had the high-cut cons. And then eventually, I got to meet him, and he actually sent me, you know, a Sam Jones shirt, a Hall of Fame shirt. And he calls me every Halloween, begs me, please, Leslie, I mean, you're 64 years old. Please, please. But I don't care. I wear it every Halloween.
Still to this day.
He's begging you to stop?
He's like, enough already, Leslie. Enough, please.
So, obviously, there were challenges and there were hurdles to being a woman and breaking into this industry at a time when that really wasn't accepted. It wasn't accepted. It just wasn't something that happened.
I had to work with Shaughnessy.
Right. And in the heyday of the Globe with Dan Shaughnessy and Will McDonough.
Peter Gammons, Bud Collins.
Bob Ryan.
Talk about a murderer's row of sports writers.
We got voted by Sports Illustrated the greatest sports section of all time. I think we're in 9 halls of fame or something. Everybody's in the Hall of Fame.
So with that being the case, with it being Boston, was Boston the right place to do that and sort of break down those barriers? Was there anything about the city itself and the media coverage in the town that allowed that to happen, or the people that were on the beats, things like that?
That's a great question. And I wrote about it in the book how I just love sports the way other kids love music. You know, I knew how to move the runner over when I was very young. And I won a Carnegie Foundation grant that entitled me to work anywhere. And the Boston Globe was so legendary that I went there, which was, it was kind of tough to start at the highest. And then I went from the Boston Globe to network television. I never had anything in between. So I really sort of really taken on big challenges, and everyone said to me, you know, you got to write a book, you got to write a book. I mean, you rode John Madden's bus with him for 6 years, you got a million stories, and you know how everyone in TV does as told to, but I thought, well, I'm in the Sports Writers Hall of Fame, so I can't really, you know, be kind of weak to have, so although Shaughnessy just told me if he'd written it, it would have been better.
Boy, that doesn't.
That's
sound
because
like
he's looking for. He's looking for a dollar in there. That's what he's looking for.
But you know what?
Looking for his cut.
I said, Dan, that's why I asked people like Joe Torre and Billie Jean King for a blurb, you know, and not you, Dan, because that would be Dan's blurb.
So you mentioned the Hall of Fame. You're the only woman enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but all your years covering the game, and we hear it. Is unless you're Scott Zolak and you literally played, and even Zoe hears it, you're just a backup. You never played the game. You know, I hear it. You never played the game at the highest level. You must have heard that like times 10 as one of the first women to cover the game. How did you handle it when you first started hearing it? I imagine no one would have the guts to say that to you anymore now that you're actually in the Hall of Fame and covered all these events, but you must have heard it.
Oh, constantly. But you know what I said? Two things. I always said that men weren't born recognizing a safety blitz. Like, you learned it. You loved it. You learned it like I learned it. I loved it. I learned it. And that's one thing. And secondly, I always understood that line, the sideline, that Scott Zolak has been on that side, and I've always been on this side, as have we. Unless I missed you guys' NFL career. But I never confused that, you know, they know, you know, we can read Buffalo 7, 7 Heaven was the play. You know, we can read that, and we can ask someone, please, to break that down for us. Matter of fact, last year I did an interview that went on so long with Bill Belichick that the tape ran out. How about that?
Wow.
Because you know what I did? It was really clever.
Is this the Bellino one?
Yes.
From last year?
I asked Joe Bellino to come, too. And then this is how, you guys deal with him all the time, but he said I did something no one had ever asked him ever before. I brought a little whiteboard and a Sharpie, and I said, draw up a play that Joe Bellino ran back in 1959, and guess how many seconds it took Bill Belichick.
I saw it. Was it edited? Because it didn't take very long.
Did not. Was not edited.
It was under a minute. I mean, he took
under
the thing.
Under a minute.
It was,
10 seconds.
Right. It was drawn up. I mean, he's sitting there.
He did.
There was no hesitation.
Nope.
And it was probably the highlight of his year.
He loved it. He was all beaming because it was 27F trap, and he had Bellino run for a touchdown, and he was all beaming that, you know, it was a touchdown, and there was Joe Bellino. So it actually, he was great, you know. I got to see his teeth, which you don't usually get to see.
Yeah, he doesn't smile very often.
he has them? I didn't even know.
25 years ago, you presented the Lombardi Trophy at the Super Bowl here in Minnesota. Only woman to ever do that. But just in terms of having been around this game and this sport for so long, How has it changed media-wise from just 25 years ago, but even before that, because you go further back than that? I mean, this is a circus now.
Well, do you know,
Every year.
I tell people that when I started, Radio Row was a row. It was
like four tables?
Yes, it was a row. I mean, the name stayed. But, you know, I can remember, I mean, I'm here for my book, which you will get on Amazon or at the Barnes & Noble right over here. But
they have everything at the small.
They do have everything at the small. But if the Radio Row, I can remember like a couple years ago going on with the BBC and then, you know, radio from Tokyo. I mean, it's just, it's such an international game. And when I was here 25 years ago to present the Lombardi Trophy, it was to the Redskins when they beat Buffalo, which, don't you think we really underrate? We never remember Jim Kelly when we go through all the quarterbacks.
He gets almost a begrudging mention. You know, there's like, oh, and Jim Kelly. You know, he kind of gets thrown in with that. But
which is really unfair.
Which is unfair. I mean, Marino, I feel like Marino gets more credit than Kelly does.
Yes.
And
Marino went to what, one Super Bowl?
Maybe two. Maybe one. Yeah. Maybe one, because he always thought he'd get back.
We know how many wins.
Kelly was, right. Yeah.
You know what he does, though?
They both went over, and they're both great quarterbacks.
Well,
but Marino statistically had a lot of big-time statistics that he held and records that he gets a lot more credit than Kelly does.
But I will tell you this. There have been three people in my career that you feel them in the room before you see them. And one of them is Dan Marino. Dan Marino, you know he's a great friend of ours. My husband and I live in Florida. And so we see a lot of Dan. But, I mean, when you drive up Dan Marino Boulevard to go to the stadium, that's pretty impressive. The other two are Muhammad Ali, of course, and Jordan.
Yeah, the energy changes when they come into the room. I believe it. So you are the only sportscaster that's worked the Big Four championships, Triple Crown, Olympics, and I think the U.S. Figure Skating Championships.
Those are the Big Four, too?
Well, no. The Big Four between the NBA World Series. All those four. So you're the only one who's worked those four, plus those other three. Out of all of them, what's the best event? The Super Bowl is certainly, I think, the most chaotic and the craziest. But in terms of the actual game itself and what it culminates in, what's been your favorite? What do you think is the best one?
Well, it was where your college has been. My favorite day of the year is the semifinals of the Final Four.
Oh.
Because I'm sure you guys have been there.
Yeah.
Everyone has a chance. You know, everyone's in the mix. And it's just, Scott Solak, now, as usual, ran away, thought that I was going to need him for a quote. So as usual, Scott ran away.
I think he's getting yelled at by our producer now. Yeah, he might be.
Well, but anyway, but that, you know, that energy of the Final Four. And when people ask me why I do what I do, I say Villanova 66, Georgetown 64, because that was the single, I mean, it was insane, right? Georgetown was Secretariat and Villanova was, you know, the key to that game was that they all played together in the summer. So Pinckney wasn't afraid of Ewing. But it was just so wild to see the late, great Rolly Massimino jumping around at that game. That was really probably half the listeners, you know, weren't even born then. That was 85.
A fair number, but yeah. I mean, I remember that. I just the whole, like, Georgetown mystique and all that. It was just.
Yeah, he's a great friend of mine now, but when you say challenges, he was really tough at first, which, I mean, I say this to him now that. Coach, you would think of everybody, you know, I'm an outlier. You know, your team, you're an outlier. You would think he'd be great to me, but he was really tough. He was really tough.
I'm glad you met. That's the one that really I became into college basketball. I missed Magic at Michigan State. I was too young. I didn't know. I didn't understand. That's the sweet spot right there. So that's a great one.
Yeah, well, I started covering the Final Four right after. I just missed Magic and Bird.
Yeah,
I did the Doctors of Dunk. That was the my first Final Four. That's a great event.
And that's really the real rise of it, the modern rise of the Final Four. So you were there for all of it.
Right.
Yeah, and it was great because then I just went to CBS and I did like the Jordan game for the Globe.
Yeah.
And then I went to CBS and then NC State. You know, it was wild. I mean, it was a wonderful run. And then Georgetown finally won it in 84 and the great Villanova in 85. But, you know, I remember being so stunned after the Jordan shot that I just happened to walk. It was in the Superdome, and I happened to walk off the floor behind Dean Smith. You know, he coached all those years. He finally won the championship. And the first thing, what do you think the first thing he did when he got under the bowels of the Superdome? He lit up a cigarette. And I was so shocked. I was like, you know, because remember, we thought, it's Bob Ryan's line, if college basketball had a home office then, it would be in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
And I was just so shocked that Dean Smith, of course, Tobacco Road.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, being from there.
He probably had a sponsor. He's probably commercially obligated to. Make sure you light up a lucky strike right after the win.
Well, Frank Gifford once told me, I know this sounds like giant name dropping here, but I did work with all these people, but Frank Gifford once told me that he was embarrassed that he used to do, I think it was he was a Marlboro man or whatever. And he was embarrassed years later, you know, because now we have all the information. And but I'll tell you what, I did Monday Night Football, and I always did the Pro Bowl, did a number of events with Frank. And coming back from a Pro Bowl in Hawaii, the whole rest of our crew was on a different flight or something. I thought, how great is this going to be? I'm going to find out everything about Frank Gifford and the Giants and find out everything. And sitting in front of us was, who was that workout guy who wore the little shorts? Remember? Richard Simmons. He hung over the back of his seat to flirt with Frank for 9 hours. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I thought, my one chance here.
Yes. Richard Simmons got in the way.
Yeah, Richard. It was
my understanding that Richard Simmons was a heterosexual, so I don't believe any of that story.
Oh, Leslie. Okay.
Yeah, I heard that on Howard Stern.
Yeah, so. It was like Casablanca, right?
Yeah,
I was misinformed.
Yeah, exactly. You must have, you're reading all the wrong signals on that one.
Those little shorts and that the tank top, I did. Yeah. Well, I sit corrected.
Yeah.
Leslie Visser's new book, Sometimes You Have to Cross When It Says Don't Walk, Barnes & Noble, major booksellers, of course, on Amazon. What do you make of this game this week? Who do you like?
You know what? I've kept it really short. You know, I'm trained in TV time, so I say
towing the line.
I say death, taxes, and Tom Brady.
Okay,
I love it.
All right, then. Good enough for me.
Yeah,
and who knows better than Leslie Visser? There you go.
There it is.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. It was fun. Thanks a lot.
We didn't even get a chance to talk about Henry Hill. We'll have to do it next year.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah, it's a deal.
Okay.
We'll do that next year. Leslie once covered the trial involving Henry Hill and the BC scandal. You covered that. That was in the Globe, right?
Next year. Yeah, save something for next year.
Yes. All kinds of great stories. All kinds of great name dropping. What a career for Leslie Visser. So she documents it all in her new book. Check it out. Noontime Hour is on the way here on Zolak and Bertrand. Scott Zolak will rejoin us coming up. In 90 seconds, we will finally get... Hold on one second. What? What are you saying to me, Jim? No, we're going to get to Chad O'Shea coming up at 12:20. 12:20, Chad O'Shea and Josh McDaniels at 12:36. We will have both of those interviews for you this hour. We've got some time to maybe get in some of your phone calls. If you want to grab a line right now, you can do that. Also, finally, want to get to Zoe's thoughts on the Tom Brady scandal this week with a... WEEI host making reference to Tom Brady's daughter. We have not heard Zoe's thoughts on that yet. Everybody has weighed in. We'll hear Zoe's on it in 90 seconds.